Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, little notify bell next to it here on the YouTube. If you're listening to this podcast on an audio podcast app, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. It really helps build the exposure.
Know where we're at now, Steve?
We're
on Spotify.
We're on Spotify now. This took us completely by surprise. So this time last year, we were really, really trying. We were really, really aiming
to get on Spotify.
We were on the road to Spotify.
And this year, I just pressed a button, and then like a week later, we were on Spotify.
So like, yeah, so sometime in the recent past, sometime in the last couple of months, our podcast server, with little fanfare seemingly, added the option to add us to Spotify.
And so we did.
I mean, even as little as like a couple months ago, that option wasn't there.
No.
So this happened to have been, I'm assuming, the last like 60 days or so. And so we hit the button. And then yesterday when we were recording Countout, you hopped on your Spotify.
And sure enough.
You looked us up, and there we were.
There we were.
So we are now on Spotify.
Official.
We took, as Kyle Steven here in the Patreon chat says, we took the scenic route. I love that phrase, the scenic route. You know why I love that phrase so much?
Why?
Because when I was a kid, when I lived in England.
Oh, I've heard this before.
We used to drive in this stupid giant station wagon.
Yes, I've heard this before.
On these little tiny roads in England. I would throw up all the time. Yeah. I had like nasty car sickness. And like every time we'd be like, hey, Dad, well, we could be home in an hour, but it'll probably be closer to 3 because I'm taking the scenic route. My dad in that goddamn scenic route. Oh, man. Talk about heel heat.
I'm surprised you actually like that term then. It seemed like you would dislike it.
It makes me laugh. I have really good memories from back then.
Even the vomiting?
It's not like, yeah, because it didn't happen that often.
All right.
And come on, I got to see a bunch of castles and shit, which back then I didn't really appreciate, but now I can look back
and hindsight, you do, huh?
It's kind of cool that I got to see a bunch of castles when I was a little kid. Anyways. We're also on Patreon. I mentioned the Patreon chat. $5 and up a month gets you access to this podcast as a live stream, all the recaps that we do as a live stream. We have a good time in the pre-show and the post-show.
Today we're doing chat trivia.
I got to send out some chat. That's what I got to work on this weekend also. My family's ditching me this weekend, man. The wife, the kids, they're all leaving.
View it as an opportunity to get some stuff done.
Yeah, I know,
or to
exactly.
Do nothing.
Yeah, I'm planning on both. I'm a little bit of nothing.
You have a whole three-day weekend to yourself. You have time for all of it.
A little bit of nothing. A little bit of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I can do whatever I want whenever I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool.
Maybe you can get some Five Guys burgers.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to watch that Blade Runner movie that I never saw, new one.
I haven't seen it yet either.
And maybe I'll have some Five Guys burgers with that.
Good idea.
I haven't had the Five Guys yet. Anyways, anything else we need? Oh, ProWrestlingTees.com. I've got my El Idolo shirt on.
I've got
on.
My Ricochet shirt on.
Yeah, we got to get, that's what I'm going to do also. I'm going to bang out 30 new designs. Really, I'm just going to do a whole lot of speed and just get a whole bunch of work done.
With all that, man.
No, I got to stop with the speed?
No. Well,
I wish.
You don't do that anyways, but.
I hear that stuff like helps you lose weight. I got to try that.
It also helps you lose teeth.
I like my teethers, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You want to keep those.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably best not to do speed then.
No.
Anyways, let's get a moving.
Yeah.
On talking about
SmackDown. You put a tweet up saying that they kept it simple and it worked to their benefit, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only.
Because it was better than it has been.
Yeah, there's only a handful of backstage segments. We're still dealing with this whole Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon business that I'm tired of. I want it to go away immediately.
It was almost in a throwaway fashion tonight, though. It wasn't like a 20-minute segment.
Yeah, I know, but they feel like they have to incessantly harp on it week after week, and yet it's going nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
That's what bugs me.
No, I agree with that, but I'm just saying, progress is progress. I'll take, because I'm so tired of them being in the middle of the ring. This time wasn't it a backstage?
Yeah, it was just backstage. Yeah. I was gonna say, there was only a handful of promos, and they focused on wrestling, which is good, because the matches, by and large, were really good.
Yeah, they were. And here's what I like to, okay, number one, the big negatives, obviously, there's no AJ Styles, no Shinsuke.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that less because we went to a live show this past weekend.
And we just saw them, yeah.
And we just saw them up close and personal.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way.
Didn't really affect me that much, but I can see why people complain about that. This is what I did like about it. It started off with nothing but chaos. And I was like, okay, I can really appreciate that. They just, for whatever reason, they were like, hey, instead of doing 10 minutes of Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon like wheezing at each other, let's just kick it off with chaos.
And they added an element of danger with Owens and Zayn. Up to this point, they haven't really been dangerous.
Right, exactly. They came out, they had mean faces on. I really like the direction of Sami Zayn.
He's super mean.
It's a subtle change, or it's been a change that's sort of been... Because at first when he turned heel, he was kind of goofier and sarcastic.
Yeah.
And lately, ever since he's had the opportunity to vie for the WWE Championship, perhaps, he's been the one...
Meaner.
He's been checking Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, taking the initiative, if you will, in terms of being top heel guy.
Well, their match last week, I believe, he was wrestling like Sami Zayn of old, which is face Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
He was getting kind of a face reaction. This week in his match against Dolph.
More aggressive.
He was dropping all sorts of forearms.
Right, exactly.
Being super aggressive, did a top rope exploder suplex that he never did before.
Yeah.
More aggressive, more mean Sami. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. So there were changes that I liked. I really actually liked... And granted, I'm not going to harp on this necessarily, but I feel like Shane just hitting, going on Twitter and saying, hey, Dolph versus Baron.
Terrible.
Number one, the whole Dolph return has been a mess. It's been a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, I think he's supposed to be a face
he
as
is.
Of last
I mean,
night.
They kind of inverted his entrance where now it starts with record scratch. No Titantron, no music. He comes out. Like in the beginning, he kind of made a face. And then it came, you know, the music hit back on.
Yeah.
Like he's out there standing saying, everybody look at me. I'm here to make a point. Cue music. I'm here to show the world.
He's yeah.
not celebratory. He's trying to make a point, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's a subtle little character change. I kind of like it, but they can't do this every week.
I can't. I really hope they don't. I hope they're completely done with the record scratch thing, to be honest. It never made sense in the first place.
Well, especially doesn't make sense to begin everything.
Right. I know. Because nothing's happening for
no.
a record scratch to stop the record.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Anyways, so how we got to Dolph being in this position has been one of the most muddy and ill-executed.
Well, they make the announcement over Twitter. He responds to said announcement over Twitter, and if he was in negotiations to return and he had demands that weren't being met, why would he be at the Royal Rumble?
Right, exactly. The timeline makes zero sense.
And then he's in the Rumble for all, 2 minutes?
Right. And he hasn't even referenced the fact that he won the damn United States Championship and just laid it down. He hasn't even talked about that. So that's been kind of a mess. That's fine, whatever. We'll take what we got. That's just how they do things these days. They're still trying to figure out how to tell stories through social media.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is we're about to get a Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin match, and
the
whoever
winner,
won
yes.
that got put into the, it'll be made a fatal four-way.
Yeah, Fastlane main event for the WWE title.
Right, exactly.
So Dolph comes out first. He does his new kind of entrance thing. Standing in the ring, Baron's music hit. No Baron.
Mm-hmm.
Where's
yeah.
Baron?
Yeah.
They briefly cut back to the SmackDown graphics on the Titantron. Again, Baron's music, his entrance. Yet, no Baron. Cut backstage. He's getting beat down by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Here's a couple things I like about the entire scenario. So then they come out. And Dolph is kind of like, he's not overly cheering it on, but he's kind of like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, this is good for me, right? Well, then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come out to attack Dolph Ziggler.
They split up.
Baron Corbin comes running out, like, you know, selling that he just got beat up. But I kind of like that. Too often when somebody gets beat up in the back, they're just taken out forever.
Yeah.
Where I like that Baron Corbin actually got up from his beatdown and came out for some more.
Yeah, I like that Owens and Zayn split up.
Mm-hmm.
Owens came down the ramp. Sami Zayn went through the crowd. Dolph intercepted Sami, and they all started brawling in the crowd. Owens and Zayn got the upper hand, destroyed Dolph. I believe Dolph ate a haluva kick on
the
side.
Yeah.
And as Owens and Zayn were walking back up the ramp, Corbin came back out and attacked them.
Right.
But Owens and Zayn got the upper hand in the end.
Mm-hmm.
They're mean. They're very mean.
I liked it. It was a good, like, 10 minutes of this.
Yeah.
And it was just no, like, commentary, I don't think. No, it was just pure chaos.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is cool. This is, like, what I've kind of wanted to see for a little while. So I thought it was a great way to open the show.
Yeah, a lot more exciting than a bunch of talking.
Right, exactly.
Next, we had a match between Sarah Logan of Riot Squad.
Riot Squad.
Versus Charlotte. Right as the match, of course, Riot Squad joined Sarah Logan ringside. Right as the match is about to start. Naomi and Becky Lynch came down the ring to even the odds.
Yeah.
It was a decent match. They gave it a lot of time.
It was a good match. Sarah Logan's a good... She's a good wrestler. She's really good.
The finish was great, and Sarah Logan sold that natural selection.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Charlotte picked up the win. Then afterwards, later on, they announced for like the umpteenth time we're going to get a six-woman tag match between everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every other week we get the same match.
Yeah, I know.
And,
I know.
I wish they would just mix it up in various singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like have Naomi take on each member of Riot Squad separately and Becky Lynch the same and Charlotte the same.
Yeah.
Rather than just doing the same six-woman tag match. I swear we've seen at least four times already.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, what is this headed towards? I mean, what are we going to get? Charlotte versus Ruby Riott at,
I would think so.
At Fastlane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, everybody involved is really talented. I just want to see them mix up and not do the same thing week after week, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm trying to play out this, like, Charlotte scenario. Because, like, I've heard, like, on Twitter, there's, like, a million different scenarios. And one of them I read was like, yeah, what if Carmella cashes in at Fastlane after Ruby Riott versus Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
gets the title there, and then Charlotte shows up at like the, no, wait, Fastlane's way after the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that
we're on
work.
Smack. What's going on SmackDown next week? Oh, that's a six-man tag.
Six-woman tag match, yeah.
Carmella could cash in there.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I really hope they don't do Charlotte versus Rousey at WrestleMania.
Ideally, they'll do Asuka versus Charlotte.
Yeah.
Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
And then have Ronda in the mixed tag match.
Yeah. But it's funny because everybody has like their own little takes on
it. I know.
On how that could play out. And you sort of look at each one and you're like, okay, I can maybe see that. Let's see here. We've got... Next up was that Daniel Bryan Shane McMahon backstage segment.
Yeah, they kept it short, but still it's the same thing where Shane was questioning what Daniel Bryan was doing, saying, you know, why did you just give Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn a title shot at Fastlane? These mm-hmm. people you really, after their actions tonight, this is really the type of people you want to have representing the company.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what we're going to do is add even more people to the match, maybe.
Yeah.
Why is that fair to AJ?
Hey, wasn't that like the original thing about Fastlane? Wasn't originally supposed to be like a Fatal 5-Way with like Shinsuke, Orton, like a bunch of other people?
They advertised matches.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Just different participants, same match.
Yeah.
So he said tonight, Kevin Owens will take on Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn will take on Dolph Ziggler,
mm-hmm.
and if Corbin and Dolph won their matches, they would be added to the W title match. It could be up to a Fatal 5-Way.
And in addition to that, if Owens or Zayn interfere in either of their partner's matches, they get booted from the title match.
Yes.
I believe, yeah.
Yes.
So, whatever.
And Brian kind of said, okay.
Next up, we got a really fun match between Kevin Owens and Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
That was a really good match. And Baron Corbin kicked out of a roll-up.
Yep.
And he won. Clean.
Corbin reborn.
Baron reborn.
Yeah.
Reborbin.
Trying to think of a
Recorbin.
A witty pun.
Recorbin reborn.
I don't think there's really
I don't know.
One there.
I feel like there's a lot of ways we can go and we found none of them. Anyways, he won with the end of days. Kevin Owens was looking for a pop up powerbomb and instead of Kevin Baron Corbin. I do like when you get the right person selling the end of days, it's a really fun move to watch.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because it's swing back. It's like it's just fun.
Yeah, I know. Looks like it might be fun to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, this is a fantastic match. I really like this match.
Yeah.
So Baron Corbin now vying for the WWE Championship. He's now going to be one of the men potentially eating the pin.
Yeah.
Against, although I'm not sure. When I look at the participants, I don't know. Who do you think is most likely to eat the pin now? Because Dolph's in it. Spoiler alert for the end of the recap. Dolph's not eating the pin.
No.
Because he just signed a contract and now he's Superman.
I'm trying to think what makes most sense, especially if the storyline is... Out of this, AJ retains. We get Owens Zayn, where Zayn is mean.
I feel like
Sammy.
It's Kevin Owens is eating the pin.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the one guy who can actually these days afford, like, they're going to have him eat the pin. Sammy, they want him strong. They like Baron Corbin strong. Dolph just signed a new strong contract.
This? Might be something like this, where Sammy's going for a Huluva kick. Maybe AJ throws Owens in front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Owens eats the Huluva kick. AJ does something to get Sammy out of the match, pins Owens for the win.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Something that causes heat between Owens and Zayn.
Right, exactly.
AJ retains.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
But yeah, that was a fun match. Baron was really selling the beatdown, coming out to the ring, selling the rib injury.
Mm-hmm.
Owens worked that over for the duration of the match. Wasn't enough to get the win, though.
Yeah.
Next, we had a Bobby Roode U.S. Open Challenge, or so we thought. Bob Roode grabbed the mic.
Hey, Bob says, Roode.
Like, literally just said, I'm doing this because John Cena did it. The U.S. Open Challenge.
Right.
And he wants to be a better U.S. champ than John Cena, so I guess that means he has to do it, too.
He has to do more Open Challenges.
But he was the one issuing the challenge. He wanted Randall Orton to come down.
Oh, listen, man, that's not how open challenges work.
Well, I mean, it's just it's his own take. He's the one making the challenge.
It's just a challenge, and it's not an open challenge.
Well, it's open to anybody he issues a challenge to.
Okay, I gotcha.
Anyways, he calls out Orton. Orton comes down. And then Jinder comes down,
I like this segment a lot. I really like this segment. Jinder comes down. He starts trying to sow seeds of discontent between Randy Orton and the entire SmackDown locker room, but also Randy Orton and Bob Roode.
It was all about the SmackDown top 10.
Yes. So this is the grand design for the top 10.
I guess so, to motivate stories. So Jinder was getting on Randy about only being number 9 after being in the company for 15 years and winning all these titles, being a surefire Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Roode over here,
this newcomer,
I know, 6 months on the roster, is number 5.
Yeah.
And Randy didn't really seem to care. Bobby Roode didn't seem to care. Right. Randy, in fact, said, I don't care about any top 10 list.
Right.
Not a fan of 10 for the win, evidently.
No, sadly. Or count out.
No.
Yeah. Bob Roode gets on the mic.
Yeah.
And he says, Randy Orton, I have nothing but respect for you, but a lot of people really don't like the fact that we get
RKO'd out of nowhere. Maybe that's why you're so low on the top 10.
Exactly.
And then Randall Orton said, oh, like this? And
hold on a second. Before that, Bobby Roode says, Jinder, you're not even on the list.
Yeah.
Now, Jinder should have known this coming out.
Why did that upset him?
It shouldn't have upset him. He should have, to preemptively counter that burn, he should have said, I am not on the list because everybody is jealous of me. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I was champion for 6 months and they are jealous of me. Something like that.
Yes, agreed.
But instead, he just lost his shit over Bob Roode saying, you're not on the list. Man, he did not come prepared.
No.
With a comeback for that.
But he did come prepared to dole out some colossus, because that's what he did. One for Bob Roode, one for Randall Orton.
Mother. It was awesome. It was fantastic. I love Jinder. I have no idea what all this means. Are we getting a triple threat match?
Yeah.
Or maybe even a fatal four-way?
At Fastlane.
With Rusev.
Maybe.
Because that was the match we saw live.
They're going to have their top 9 talents involved in 2 matches at Fastlane.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means? It means because we're going to get... Now we're going to get, what, the New Day versus Gable and Benjamin.
Yeah.
We're going to get, the Usos have to defend their titles.
Against Bludgeon Brothers, yes.
Yeah, against Bludgeon Brothers.
And then Charlotte versus Ruby Riott. That's just a lot of talent in mm-hmm. 2 matches.
No, I agree. Be a quick pre-show, a kickoff show will be. Hey, it means Ty will get on the kickoff show.
Oh, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, Ty versus Mojo. We'll see that again.
Maybe Mike Kanellis will get some TV time.
Oh, there you go. He's jacked these days,
man.
He's jacked. I like it. My new goal, Mike Kanellis, buddy.
Yeah. Next, we had a fantastic New Day segment.
And this is
these guys are the best.
So they were the best thing about it. So they came out to do a speed eating contest.
Break the world record for most pancakes eaten in 8 minutes.
Right. So they have like 3 plates just chock full of pancakes.
Oh, platters.
Platters, thank you. It looked amazing, for one thing. It looked immaculate. Yeah. I was so into it. And Big E was going to be the one, you know, trying to beat the clock, basically, or beat the record.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he put the little bib thing on. And
he came out with the bib on.
They look great. And he goes and they start the clock. And he just grabs like a pile of pancakes and starts shoving them at his mouth. And Corey Graves is beside himself because like there's a little indicator,
counter,
and it's just stuck on 0 because none of them actually get in his mouth all the way. And so Corey Graves is literally laughing, saying, none of the pancakes have gotten to his mouth yet. He hasn't eaten a single one.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty great.
Oh, man, I laughed so hard.
And then Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin come down to the ring.
Yeah, they come down to be heels.
Yeah, to be heels and stop the fun.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate they were vouching for the deliciousness of waffles.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't appreciate they were stopping the fun of New Day trying to break this record.
Yeah.
Don't appreciate that.
No, I don't like that at all. I don't like them coming down. I mean, they're heels they're supposed to do. And they are pretty, like Gable especially, he's a funny dude.
Yeah.
And so he was clowning up a little bit. Then they slapped one of the platters.
First they started dropping him on the
ground. Oh, yeah, they said, what if we do this? What if we do this?
Yeah.
Throwing him on the ground.
And then Big E was beside himself.
Mm-hmm. He was pretty upset.
Beat him up right there.
What did he say? He said, we want some serious competitors. And Kofi Kingston's just sitting there picking his nose.
And Big E does this. He brings his toughest shirt down and starts doing this.
And Gable says, his nips are out right now. His nips are out. Are you kidding me? That shit was funny, man.
That was good.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, that was fantastic.
His nips are out, man. Come on. Kofi's literally picking his nose.
I know.
Oh, God. I don't know. It was good. This will be fun. Anyways, it was... was this a tag match or was it just Big E versus...
No, it was a tag match,
man. It was a tag match?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. All right. Well, anyways.
New Day kind of distracted Gable and Benjamin into the ref or something towards the finish.
Yeah.
And that's how New Day ended up picking up the win with Midnight Hour.
It was a singles match.
It was not a singles match. It was Big E and Kofi.
Oh, yeah, look at that. The New Day. Like, man, sometimes I just don't pay attention.
Oh, I know.
I paid attention when the nipples came out and when the nose picking was happening, so I kind of feel like I'm good. So then we had a Dolph Ziggler interview.
He's talking about outshining everybody. He's the best, so on and so forth. But he did it less heelish, slightly more face-ish. He needs to add some complexity to this whole thing.
So he's got a new contract.
Yeah, that's what we've heard.
That's word on the street.
Yeah.
Right?
Sweetheart deal. Is that the terminology?
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds like he probably is getting paid a bunch of money, but he can go home early. It sounds kind of like an Orton-ish deal.
That's what I was going to say.
He can go home early.
WWE is going to pay for a bus for him.
Oh, I really doubt they're going to go that level of Orton. He's not the Big Show. I wouldn't bat an eye if Dolph was gone. I really like Dolph Ziggler. I think he's great. But if they're not going to do something new or interesting with him.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago when they were actually doing something kind of interesting with him. with the Intercontinental title, with the Miz.
Yeah, about a year ago he had that retirement match.
About a year ago.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I mean, you can't really go to the retirement well too often.
No.
But you can find interesting things for him to do.
Definitely. I just feel like they need to add some new wrinkles to his character.
Yeah.
It's very one note, and it's been very one note for the last six or so years.
And then this, I'm the best in the ring. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, new contract. That means we're going to see a lot more Dolph.
Yeah.
He's going to be a bit more.
Front and center.
Right. For right now, anyways. I mean, you know how this always goes. You get a fresh contract, and for some reason, they push you a little bit. It's like you can win a couple matches now, and then you sink back into where you belong.
Yeah, he can go back to being the gatekeeper who always loses.
Right, exactly, which really should not be the case. Like, he should win some matches.
Yeah.
So,
it's like, look what they do with Cassius Ohno in NXT. He's the gatekeeper of NXT.
Yeah, but he wins a match.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
And on top of that, it's Cassius Ohno.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I've been watching the same Dolph Ziggler match for...
His match with Sami last night was good, though.
It was a good match. He can put on a good match. I don't know. It's just kind of the same thing with Orton. It's like, I feel like I've seen everything they could possibly do with these people.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So, anyways.
So either we need to see some change in the in-ring style or add some wrinkles to the character.
Yeah. Put him in a story. Or just move him over to main event. Next up, we had another one of those Usos promos. Oh,
these look great.
They look fantastic. Why don't they do this with more people?
I know. They got to stop with the words on the screen, though.
Oh, it's so irritating. I feel like somebody knows that it's irritating because there's less of them. But, like, I don't know if it's Kevin Dunn or whoever really likes them.
I feel like it's Triple H because they're on 205 Live now.
Yeah, maybe. I really like it when words show up on the TV. It makes it easier to hear what they're saying. I got all these kids running around here. I can't hear anything anybody's saying. Just turn the subtitles on your TV. I don't know how to do that.
How about this? I'll add subtitles to all their promos now. But not all the words.
Just not all the words.
Just the ones with impact.
The most salient ones. The most important ones.
Yeah. I thought the cinematic quality of this promo was great. And then the Bludgeon Brothers, I guess the idea was that they broke the TV screen this promo was playing on with their hammers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera pulls back, and they're with this wrecked TV. Like, they're shattering the illusion of the Usos that they have the tag division on lock. I thought it was really well done, very cinematic.
Well, that was cool. Well, yeah it could have been, but it just looked like a regular backstage film.
No, I know. Maybe just the approach, the
oh, for sure, yeah.
The technique.
Yeah, I was just sort of focused on figuring out how much that TV cost.
Oh, it was probably made like a green screen on the front of the TV where the monitor is.
And stuff. Oh, that could be.
It's a gimmicked one.
Yeah.
It was the one that Bob Roode pushed over when SmackDown invaded Raw.
Do you think they have, like, some prop TVs that they're able to get, and they're, like, only, however much?
Yeah.
$100 each or something.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. Can't be that expensive to gimmick a TV.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of cool.
That was well done. Next, we had Sami Zayn was in gorilla position.
This was cool. I like
and
this.
And then Kevin Owens comes out and says, you know, hey, you really got to essentially pick me up after my loss. You can't let me down.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn says,
yeah.
Let you down. You let me down by yeah. not winning your match. He said, also, there's no...
there is no we.
Yeah, there's no
this
we.
This is Owens for the said, WWE title.
Yeah.
This is every man for himself.
Because Owens said, you know, we need to be in this match. We
and he, yeah, he said, when we win the WWE yeah. championship. Yeah. And he's like...
There's no we.
This isn't the Jericho
man
thing.
For himself.
This isn't
the Jericho thing. I like that they're coming back around to the Jericho thing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this time Zayn is the one who turns on Owens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good. Let's see here. So then we had a really good match. Sami Zayn in the main event against Dolph Ziggler in the main event.
Yeah.
Like you said, Sami Zayn, but more heelish.
More aggressive.
More strikes. More aggression. It was good.
It was good. There was that top rope exploder suplex. That was great.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool.
The finish was great where Dolph got out of the way of a Huluva kick, hits a zigzag. Sami kicks out.
You know, I got a bone to pick with people.
What?
I mentioned on an episode a while ago that it'd be cool if somebody did a curb
yeah.
stomp leg drop.
Yeah.
And then, like, my Twitter lit up with people saying, well, that's just a famouser. And no, it's not. There is two distinctly different things. When you're about to get a curb stomp, you're basically on your hands and knees like this.
Yeah.
When you're doing a famouser, you're basically standing up and you're hunched over like this.
Yeah.
And the leg goes down with you. The leg drop version of the curb stomp would be a guy like this on hands and knees, and the leg is coming down like this, not going with you.
Yeah.
And because we both know that the leg drop is the most devastating move in wrestling,
yeah,
I feel like the leg drop combined with the curb stomp, A, is not a famouser, and B, would be the most devastating move in all of history.
I can't disagree with you.
Thank you. Just pointing that out.
I think you're right on both counts.
Pointing that out. People checking me on Twitter. I'll check you. Anyways, yeah, Dolph went over with a super kick.
Yeah, man, that's his finisher.
Yeah.
He's got the most powerful super kick since Shawn Michaels.
Now he does.
Well, even before...
When's the last time he won a match?
When he won the U.S. title.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
That was with the zigzag.
That was with the zigzag?
Yeah.
Isn't that like just a modified sling blade?
Yeah.
I never thought that was just his signature. He won with a zigzag, really, or a famous... What?
No, the zigzag.
Is zigzag usually his finisher?
He was historically, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
But remember, Corbin had Bob Roode up for End of Days, and then Dolph came from behind, gave Baron zigzag.
Oh, okay.
As he was dropping Bob Roode.
Yeah.
And picked up the win. Pinned right. Corbin.
Well, I think his contract gave him a bit more stank on that super kick. But I remember it was booked pretty strong also.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. He'd won matches with the super kick before
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. He gets the sweet chin music contractually speaking now, so that's good.
Picked up the win over Sami. Sami's going for another Huluva kick. Walked right into a super kick. Super kick. Oh, we have mail.
I'm really hoping this is like some cool stuff for the new office.
Yeah, that'd be great.
This one here is from another Steve. This one is Steve Yurko. Do not bend. Kind of looks like my handwriting.
It does look like your handwriting.
Is it like an alter ego thing? Did I send this to us? That'd be weird.
This is from Jason Casey. It's packed in here really well, though.
Oh, man. There's stuff in here. Dear Stephen Lawson.
Oh, cool. Go ahead.
Dear Stephen Lawson, thank you for the constant and consistent wrestling content. I've been listening for over a year now, and you have both been a dependable and positive source of entertainment while I'm working. I've had the pleasure of meeting you both at PWG and the G1 Special in USA, and you are both class acts. I apologize for sarcastically throwing up a too sweet for Larson, but it was the running gag at the time.
Oh, that's fine.
Despite being a lifelong artist, I've also only recently gotten into drawing more wrestling fan art in the last couple of years, including two prints of mine that will be discontinued. I had some time to spare and thought you maybe might find use for them for your new set.
Awesome.
It's of the New Day and the NXT roster circuit 2015, early 2016. Hope to catch you at another wrestling event in the near future. Steve Yurko.
Cool.
He says, thanks for keeping it real. Take a look at these guys.
Check this out.
Oh, wow. Whoa, look at that. That is super fresh,
oh,
man.
Oh, that's cool.
That is super cool. That is definitely going up. And then, oh
man,
wow.
That is fantastic.
Look at that. We got Baron. We got Samoa Joe.
Hideo
we got
with Tommy.
Bailey.
Zane.
Genzo and Cass.
Like Emma.
Looks like Apollo Crews down there.
Asuka. That's great.
And Finn Balor.
We have more artwork from Jason Casey. First, we got
Real. Real. And
this one's different.
Okay.
One for each of us. And then, oh man, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool. It's glow.
Glow.
Oh, that's really neat.
That's very awesome. Thank you so much.
Wow, that's great.
That's super cool.
We have very talented friendos.
We do.
Anyways, let's answer some questions.
Yes. Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. Which wrestler do you think is a possible main eventer but needs a new gimmick or rebrand to get there?
Oh, nice. We're only $9 away from $5,000. Sorry, what now?
What's the wrestler you think is a possible main eventer but needs a new gimmick or rebrand to get there? I don't know so much a new gimmick or rebrand. I think people just need interesting stories to give them something interesting to do.
Like, I'll be honest. I could believe there's two. I could believe Bray Wyatt still, and I could believe Dolph Ziggler. If they gave them something that was cool and interesting.
Yeah.
When we saw Bray in the main event scene last year, and people were getting geeked out about it.
I know, because he was involved in an interesting story.
I know, and they were booking Sister Abigail super strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then that
then
happened.
Not.
That stuff happened.
Unretired Dwayne Nix said SmackDown has been pretty much a drag lately. What's the percentage chance that AJ Styles versus Nakamura is the main event, the last match on the show at Mania? He's going to say 40%. Two.
A botched 2%, and that's only if Brock Lesnar. It's the same that Cena was talking about, the Miz beating Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
If Brock misses his flight or gets injured on the way to the airport
or
whatever, or sick, then yeah. But no, it's a 2%.
Yeah, it's going to be Lesnar versus Reigns.
Yeah, that's going to be the main event for sure.
Sure, absolutely.
And if Ronda Rousey's there in a singles match, that might be the co-main event.
Uh-huh. Fat bastard champ Alex Foster.
You're
which wrestler from the past would have a gimmick perfect to team with someone on SmackDown today?
Which wrestler from the past would have a gimmick perfect to team with someone on SmackDown today? Mr. Perfect and the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger.
There you go. That's the answer.
They could team up on and feud also with who's more perfect.
Yes. CM Punk finds it insulting. If Shinsuke wins at Mania, could Rusev be the one to take it off him at or after SummerSlam?
Rusev's another guy who I would always believe. He always has the believability factor.
Yeah, he has a good gimmick right now, the whole Rusev.
Did you see him?
Thing
him and Lana wore matching singlets?
I saw his outfit. It was great.
And she picked up her first ever win in the WWE, and they both seemed legitimately emotionally overwhelmed by it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I watched like the last 5 minutes of the match. I need to watch the beginning because I think Bayley and Elias do a thing.
I saw that bit on Twitter, the GIF or a little bit of video where Rusev drops Elias's guitar on the ground.
During
the middle of the match.
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw when Rusev and Lana came out and both did the Machka run.
Matching outfits. That was great.
That was cute.
Connor, say O'Farrell, power rank top 5 to 6 Triple H guys based on who you think he pushes for backstage. Number one's Finn Balor.
Oh, yeah. At the end of Raw 25.
Yeah. He's basically saying, this is my number one guy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'll say,
this guy here. This
Finn
guy.
Balor.
Yeah.
I think Triple H really likes Nakamura.
I think Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nakamura.
Although kind of interesting, we didn't see a lot of like Seth and or Kevin Owens and Vince sort of interaction during his 365 special.
Oh yeah,
you didn't watch that?
No,
huh?
I still haven't seen it.
If I recall correctly, I don't really remember seeing a lot of that.
What Owens Triple H interaction?
Owens and Triple H interaction. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't really see a lot. There was only that one moment I think with Vince, but he did speak about Vince a lot. Anyways,
who else? That's 4.
Ooh, I like this question.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, another.
Oh, Asuka.
Yeah. She might be like number 2 behind
Finn. Yeah.
El Pupacabra. Vince is a huge Steven Larson Book Raw fan. And he asked you two to select the next WWE 2K19 cover star and create a storyline based on it.
Wow.
Who would be it, and what's their story heading into the release of the game?
Oh, CM Punk is leading to a match against Triple H. Just how we're going to book it.
There you go. CM Punk, the next WWE 2K19 cover star. You know, seriously, if I would say go all in on Asuka. Or the club, but I think Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka.
Like they're so into the history making stuff these days.
Yeah.
Can't think of somebody more perfect.
That's a good point.
You know, it'd be fun is if they did let's say WWE had plans for Ronda Charlotte or Ronda Asuka by SummerSlam, or even Mania. Mm-hmm. Which
next Mania.
It'd be fun if 2K19 was a cover of that, of Ronda and Charlotte on the cover.
Yeah.
Because Ronda's like a big star.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Digital Rookie, with talks of a roster shift around Fastlane. I think it's Backlash. Maybe it is Fastlane. I don't know. Power Rank, the 5 people to bring over to SmackDown, 5 people you trade to Raw. Hold on. We got an episode of Countout about that this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. We do. So we'll hold off on that one.
This is interesting. Custard Cannon Jared Ellis. After Asuka's streak is eventually broken, who do you think will be the next one to go on that type of streak in WWE? I think it's going to be a while. In NXT, they seem like they want to get those losses out of the way.
Yeah, they do these days, yeah.
Because I would have thought Aleister Black was a contender for that, but he's already lost.
Yeah.
Maybe Lars Sullivan?
Maybe.
He hasn't been pinned yet. That I recall. I think all his matches is when he was Dylan Miley, he lost because his partner got pinned. But I don't think he's actually taken a pin yet that I can think of.
Depending on the... Maybe Ricochet.
Maybe?
Maybe. Maybe, depending on how they think of him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, if Aleister Black already ate a loss, it's going to be a while before somebody else does because they really seem to like him.
Maybe if they bring Keith Lee in.
There you go. That'd be fun. Walter.
Gosh, you see the pictures of that guy's chest?
Yeah, I did. No good. Don't like it.
Let's see here. Oh, Richard Nason. What's the pop Corbin got when he won? People counted, stood, and applauded. What a way for creative to shake things up. You know what? When we went to the house show, I was surprised that Corbin got a pretty solid pop.
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
Yeah.
I thought this guy was supposed to be a heel. I mean, Bobby Roode got a good pop.
Yeah.
The crowd booed for gender.
Yeah.
But then Corbin got a decent pop, not Roode level.
Yeah, people like a badass, dude.
Yeah, I know.
People like a badass. And he doesn't really... They haven't really given him an opportunity. Like, Kevin Owens literally, like, yells at people.
Yeah.
He, like, goes out of his way to be heel guy.
Yeah, to the crowd, yeah.
To the crowd.
And Corbin doesn't really do that.
Corbin doesn't really do that. Like, the worst thing he has ever done is really, like, he grabs a U.S. title and he, like,
shows it people's face. Yeah.
Like, Kevin Owens will, like, talk crap to people, and we've always said Baron's not the greatest at that. Hey!
Hey, you're there. I'm here.
I'm here.
That means you're not me.
That means... You're not me.
You're not me.
Hey. All right, here we go. Slow Wolf. Speaking of Baron Corbin, Slow Wolf. Which are better, Larson? Waffles or pancakes? Because Gable and Benjamin came out and said, we'd prefer waffles.
First, I'm going to be diplomatic. There's a time and place for each. If you're in the mood for pancakes, nothing is better than a pancake. If you're in the mood for a waffle, same.
Okay.
Personally, I think more often than not, I would prefer the waffle. That's my preference. I like the texture of waffles. They're crispier. There's more flavor to them.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like pancakes, they're just there to soak up syrup. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just my take. I feel like waffles, I don't have to douse in syrup to provide any sort of flavor.
Yeah.
Have you ever bought frozen pancakes in lieu of frozen Eggos? Or Eggos?
Yeah.
And?
Well, I get them for Bama. She likes them.
No, you.
No.
Okay.
No good. Is that the crux of your argument?
No, it's not. I mean, it's all about.
I think the first thing you said is absolutely correct. It all depends on mood.
Yeah.
I could get just as much enjoyment out of eight Eggos, like a whole box of Eggos, man, as I can out of going down to Annie's Breakfast over there and get some really good pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on my mood.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
No, I am.
Cannot disagree.
Yeah.
But instinctually, my gut always says pancakes are better.
Okay.
But you're right. It is. It's a mood thing.
It is.
You know?
Like, I agree with you, and I'd say my gut will usually tell me waffles.
Waffles, yeah. Like, if I go to, let me ask you this, though. If you're hungover, do you have a go-to?
Biscuits and gravy.
Between the two of them. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not even waffles or pancakes.
Biscuits and gravy.
See, for me, if I'm hungover, it's pancakes mm-hmm. all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like going
to... I feel like that's too... Well, granted, biscuits are dense too, but I feel like if you just have one biscuit cut in half, gravy and sausage on it, that'll fill you up. I feel like I need like 10 pancakes to fill me up.
Oh, yeah,
or a lot.
Dude.
And then if you got a bunch of pancakes in your gut when you're hungover...
Well, then you just lay down in bed and watch TV.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Or fall asleep.
Do both. Oh, man.
Nate Morris, what would be the better option for Owens and Zayn at Mania, one-on-one match or a tag title match against the Usos? If Sammy turns heel in the one-on-one match, because I feel like that's some character evolution for both of them. But if they're going to go back to heel Kevin Owens, then just keep them together and have a tag title match.
I have a really hard time thinking. I think they've started down this path of Sammy being top heel guy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they're going to jump out of that anytime soon.
Yeah, I would hope not.
Yeah, especially after this week. HBK with Dolph's new hashtag Orton Claus contract seeming face turn and main event push. What are the odds he goes over at Fastlane leading to a triple threat versus Styles and Nakamura at WrestleMania? Zero.
He'll pretty much 2% botch.
He might win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, could be. He could get into the U.S. title scene again. Maybe after this.
Yeah. He could
brief
get...
flirtation with the WWE title.
Yeah, maybe.
Sahil Dillon. So honestly, I feel like Jinder's promo tonight was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, it's great.
I feel like he's actually finally going to hit his stride. How well do you guys think Jinder would work in the U.S. title picture? Personally, I feel he'd work really well. Thanks, friendos. Much love.
Oh, he's made for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he's made for it.
I mean, he had that world title run, gave him legitimacy,
mm-hmm.
and now he can contend for virtually any title.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Is it just me, or is the best part of having promos in gorilla position knowing that Vince is literally right next to him off screen? Yes. That's all I can think about. It's just off screen you have Vince... You have Road Dogg,
yeah, Michael Hayes.
P.S. Hayes, and Jamie Noble. Just hanging out. And Shane probably just hanging out right there.
Just right
That's
there.
That's got to be awkward. That's all hell.
Oh, it's the worst. And it's think about it. That's way worse than being in front of 10,000 people and doing a promo.
And staring at you. And
staring
Kevin
at
Owens
you.
In the back of his mind just thinking, are we good? Are we good? No. Are we good?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
That's got to drive people insane.
That's got to be horrible.
Are we good?
Are we good?
No. Oh, that's a good question. You have one?
No, that's a really good point.
What?
Vince being right next to you and Gorilla.
Tommy T, hey, friendos, my question is, do you think WWE is right to wait on things that get over? For instance, Rusev Day is over now, and while many fans see it and right away want a massive push for Rusev, but WWE waits to see if it has staying power, which mindset do you guys think is correct?
Tommy T, of course. Man, they need as soon as something... Is clever or good, they have to go all in on it. No, of course not. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
They need to wait on things to make sure. And I wonder if that was... You seem to think that it's a guarantee, and I'm like 80% there with you about the Ty Dillinger 10 count.
Okay.
That's why he was brought up. It's very likely. I also kind of wonder if it was a variety of things. That might have been one of the big things. But also just the fact of how many people were coming into NXT.
Oh, I'm sure that played a part in it.
And it's like, what more can we really do with you? Is an NXT title run really going to help you that much, given that we probably don't see that much of a ceiling for you beyond like a strong mid-card thing, maybe?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that might be, if what you're saying is true, and they're like, hey, this 10 count thing is super over, let's bring that dude up, then that was not a good idea,
no.
You know?
No.
I mean, I know people still kind of do the 10 thing.
It's not
anywhere nearly
near as prominent as it used to be. Even the house show we went to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it used to be every 10 count was the 10 count.
I know. That's really died down.
Yeah.
The Down Undertaker, Zach Parks, considering all four men challenging AJ at Fastlane aren't in the SmackDown top 10. It's true.
Yep.
If a WWE title opportunity comes for someone inside the top 10, when will it come and who will it be? Well, it's going to be Nakamura at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He's three.
Let's see. You got Orton. You got Rude.
You got the New Day. You got the Usos.
The New Day, the Usos.
Nakamura. And then you got Naomi, Becky, and Charlotte.
Yeah. So is the question about WWE title?
Yeah. It's going to be Nakamura at Mania.
Removing him, I would think it'd be...
Randall Orton.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, probably Randall Orton.
Or Bob Roode.
You just like saying their name.
I know.
Jeffrey Nguyen. Michael Cole acknowledged Lana's win in the mixed match challenge as her first in the WWE. So does that mean we have to take the mixed match challenge as canon?
Well, I think it was always kind of existed at the periphery of canon.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
They acknowledge it and promote it during Raw and SmackDown.
Right. Like Star Wars accepts certain things as canon when it kind of like is in their best interest.
Yeah.
Like, so their comic books are supposed to be canon.
Yeah.
And in one of the comic books, there was a character who said that she was Han Solo's first wife.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to address her in the Solo movie or if they're just going to forget about that.
That's a good question.
I have no idea. Like, I don't know if it was ever resolved as being like a swerve in the comic book. Maybe she wasn't actually his wife and that was said in the next issue. I just remember reading it and being like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So when it's convenient, I think WWE will accept. WWE does the same thing. When it's convenient, they'll accept certain things as canon.
Yes.
Like Chris Benoit is no longer canon. You know what I mean?
No. Oh, Connor, say yeah.
Yeah.
O'Farrell, where do you see the other six competitors are going for Mania once Reigns wins Elimination Chamber? Well, Miz will have his next challenger from that match for the IC title.
I think we're going to get, hopefully we'll get like a couple stories out of that. Like, I can imagine maybe Undertaker showing up at the chamber. Maybe.
That's probably the Raw afterwards.
Probably the, yeah.
Because Cena like will say, now that I lost, I have no road to Mania.
Right. He's going to so Bong. Say, yeah. Yeah, I have no road to WrestleMania now. I don't know what I'm going to do. Wait, yeah, just ask Vince. No, all you got to do is, Vince, this is what I want to do.
Call it Mark.
Exactly.
Taker.
Yeah.
You want to join me on the road to Mania?
Yeah.
All I'll do is point at the sign. That's cool, Mark.
Do I even have to show up? Or do you just want me to point at the sign? Who am I talking to right now? It's me, Mark Calloway.
Who?
Undertaker. Oh, okay. Who was that other guy? My personal assistant. The glorious broken sound wave. Hey, Steven Larson.
Hi.
I like that he said Steven Larson, not Steve and Larson.
Oh, Steven?
Steven Larson.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you think they should put the UK title online at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes!
Of course they should!
Give us Pete Dunne versus either Trent Seven or Tyler Bate again. Tear the house down.
Give me Trent Seven.
Slow roll into the ring.
Exactly. Here's a good one from Randall Orton Voices. What needs to be done for the Riot Squad to get over?
Well, they need to win.
They need to win something? Ruby Riott needs to win things?
Yeah, well, any of them need to win.
Any of them need to win something?
They don't win
something?
Very often.
They don't win very often. They don't do
for
that.
For example, last night, Sarah Logan lost.
She lost.
To Charlotte.
She needs to win.
Win.
Against people.
Winning, winning. And then they'll get over.
Exactly. One last question.
Yeah, and it's time for trivia.
True Bud Ryan asks, how come Deep Six is not Corbin's finisher? Because he has a finisher. It's called the End of Days. Because
he has a finishing move that's as good as Deep Six is. He has a finisher that's better.
Yeah, exactly.
Deep Six isn't that different from a Blue Thunderbomb.
Yeah. I do like the Blue Thunderbomb, though.
Yeah, same. All right. Trivia time, Steve.
Trivia time.
Classic and modern era.
Our goal at this point is we're hopefully around 2 to 3 weeks away from Office Space.
Uh-huh.
We need a new trivia book by then.
All right.
This is going to be, yes. We only have like two or three more weeks left.
Well, let's get to the next Tournament of Champions.
Okay.
Sticking with these cards, because this is what we've done the whole time.
Okay.
Starting the next round, we'll start with something fresh.
Sounds good.
All right. I'll go first with Classic Era.
Classic Era.
Who did the Ultimate Warrior defeat in a retirement match at WrestleMania 7?
In a retirement match at WrestleMania 7? The Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, who did the Ultimate Warrior defeat in a retirement match? WrestleMania
was it Savage?
Yeah. Because he had to go to Randy commentary.
Did Randy Savage actually retire?
No, I don't think so. Well, no, he went to WCW.
What future WWE Hall of Famer won the very first match in WrestleMania history? But anyways, I know we've had this card before, but I would not remember this.
Wow, WWE Hall of Famer?
He's a Hall of Famer, and he won the very first match in WrestleMania history.
Tito Santana.
Good job. Way to go.
I go to my memory banks. What was the last name of the brothers, Jimmy and Johnny, that won the World Tag Team Championships in 1974?
Jimmy and Johnny. Should I know this? Would you have known it?
Probably not. So I see the answer here, and I would say, okay, that makes sense. I've heard the names before.
Okay. Jimmy and Johnny. I'm going to say Valentine.
Close. Valiant.
Oh, man.
Why'd you put a finger up? You didn't get it right.
It was close. Championships. What future WWE manager and Hall of Famer teamed with Professor Tanaka to win the World Tag Team Championship three times in the 1970s.
Mr. Fuji?
Very good.
What WWE Hall of Famer managed WWE champions Bruno Sammartino and Bob Backlund?
Blassie?
Arnold Scotland?
Oh, I've had that answer before, but I don't remember that.
It's a tough card, Steve.
What WWE Hall of Famer was known for his green tongue and chewing up turnbuckles?
Oh, that's George the Animal Steel.
Yeah.
What superstar battled Rey Mysterio in a ladder match for custody of Mysterio's son, Dominic?
Yay, Eddie Guerrero. Big events. What diva eliminated? This, we're in the modern era now.
Yeah, modern era.
By the way. What diva eliminated the great Khali from the 2010 Royal Rumble?
Beth Phoenix.
Very good.
Who jumped from Raw and won a 20-man battle royal for the vacant World Heavyweight Championship on a January 2006 episode of SmackDown?
John Cena.
Kurt Angle.
Oh. Championships. What former image consultant of JBL won the Divas Championship on the October 12, 2009 Raw?
Oh, shoot.
Only to lose it the very same night.
Oh, darn it.
What's her name?
Image consultant, right?
Yeah.
Was it Jackie? What's her last name? Starts with a G.
Gata?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Jillian Hall.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. What third-generation superstar starred in the film The Marine 2?
Oh, wasn't that DiBiase's kid? Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Yeah. What man is the first honoree to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame twice, once as a solo competitor and once as part of a faction?
Ric Flair.
Nah, man, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ric Flair.
Very good.
I got two more than you did. I get two cards.
Why don't we get cards for pay-per-view? I would be way up on you.
Terry Runnels.
That's a good one.
Stacy Keibler.
All right, so last week, that's a good pair of cards there. Last week, we gave away for chat trivia this RVD card. Oh, you have to sign these.
Oh,
and a Stephanie McMahon card. Can you grab those prizes again? We're going to announce the prizes for today's chat trivia for the patrons.
We'll do the new ones.
Ooh, what's this? Oh, wow. Undertaker. And whoa, Vince McMahon.
Whoa.
These are we're gonna get these autographed by us, and they're gonna go to a couple of the patrons in the post show for chat trivia because we love our patrons. Anyways, Hilton, can we get Hilton's not there.
Hilton's not here.
Gypsy Bug, can we get some music, please? Nice. Good job, Bubba. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.